Well, good evening, each one. I am so glad this evening to be numbered with the people of God. I don't know where else I would rather be. I don't know what other people I would rather be a part of. I've seen a lot of groups. I work with a lot of different people. I've seen a lot of things in my 46 years. And I haven't found a people that I would rather be with than the people of God. We are a blessed people. We're a blessed people. And the good news of the gospel, the hope of the gospel is that every single one of us, the Lord is calling your name. We can all be part of the family of God. The message that I'm burdened with tonight that I feel inspired to leave with you is a continuation of the message last night. The theme that we're thinking about is, Lord, what must I do to be saved? It's personal. What must I do? I am concerned about my brother. But I'm also know that in the final analysis, Lord, I want to know what I need to do to be saved. I can spend a lot of time worrying about everybody else and thinking what everybody else needs to do. But Lord, I want to know what I need to do to be saved. And last night we talked about one of the keys to that is buy the truth and don't sell it. Buy the truth. Invest in the truth. And then don't let go of it. Don't piece it out. Don't partition it. Don't part it out. Don't let it be hollowed out. And this evening I'm encouraged to challenge you with invest in the truth until you're fully persuaded. There is that place for us. That's the space that the Lord wants us to be in. He wants us to be content in Him. He wants us to be in that place where we're fully persuaded. This is the way that I should go. And I don't have to worry about. I don't have to wonder, is the Lord okay? There's those times in life. I know I'm human. I've been there. But the Lord wants us to care enough about being saved, that He wants us to invest to the point that we can be at peace. And you know, this evening, the good news about that is all of us have the wherewithal and the means to be able to make that kind of investment and so that we can find that peace. I'd like to start off reading in the 14th chapter of Romans, and I'm going to like to read two passages back to back. Romans 14 and 1 says, Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. All right, pay particular attention to this fifth verse. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. But here's the direction. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, I'd like you to keep that in mind, and I'd like to turn to the 13th chapter of Luke. Luke, the 13th chapter and the 24th verse, says, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence you are. The scripture here that we just read says, many shall seek to enter in, but shall not be able. And I think about all of the many that aren't seeking to enter in. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, it doesn't seem like that's even on their radar. There's multitudes, they're not even trying to get in. But there are many who to a point are seeking to one degree or another to get in. And this verse is really pointed to those. It's not directed to those that are just out doing whatever and they don't really care and it's not something they're worried about. This is pointed to those who it said, Jesus said, are seeking to enter in. But he said, they won't be able to. Well, that causes me some concern, doesn't it, you? Or it gives me pause. Let me say it that way. Because I want to be able to enter in. I want to be saved. I want to be in the place where I'm persuaded now. I don't want to wait until the Lord comes back and calls my name, only then to find out, well, you know, I was hoping that everything would be okay, but I wasn't really sure about the way I was living it, but now I know. Well, I don't want to find out then. You don't want to find out then, because the opportunity for salvation's over. You don't have to wait till then. That's the good news of that. You don't have to wait until then. We want to know today. We want to make whatever investment we need to make so that we're fully persuaded when the Lord comes back. Well, why aren't many able? That's a question. You know, sometimes when we begin to understand what the Lord means when He said, well, there's many that aren't going to be able to. Well, my first question is, well, if I don't want to be in that number, what was it about those people that they weren't able, that they were seeking? Because remember, He's talking about those that are seeking. Have you ever been tasked with unlocking a door and you were given a whole bunch of keys and you weren't used to opening that particular lock and you weren't really familiar with the keys? And so you come up to the door and you got a whole ring of them, and you look at one, oh, that looks like a freezer key. That doesn't go in the door. And well, that's too small to fit this lock. But then you find a key that looks, oh, that might work. And so you stick it in, but then it won't go in. No, that's not it. And you're trying to keep track of all the keys so you don't duplicate your effort. And you're getting kind of frustrated because a key after key is not working. Finally, you find a key. So, well, that key looks like that might work. And you stick it in there, and lo and behold, it just slides right in. I mean, it just slides in, it fits like a glove. And you're thinking, oh, great, I found the key. The search is over. This works. It looks right. It looks like it fits. It's in. And you happily start to turn the key, only the key doesn't turn. Have you ever done that before? How many here has only tried once to turn the key? So you turn it, you try again. Oh, there's something wrong. You try, but it doesn't go. And then you think, what is wrong with this lock? Did you hear what I said? What is wrong with this lock? There ain't anything wrong with the lock. There's something wrong with the key. There's something wrong with the key. It's not the lock's problem. It's the key. See, the thing is, the door's never gonna open until you find the key that fits and meets the original design of the lock. The lock's not out there saying, oh, the key looks like it's a little bit different design. I'm going to adjust myself so that the door will open. The lock's the lock. It has the original design. And for the lock to open, you have got to find the key that matches the original design of the lock. Otherwise, the lock's not going to open. But do you know what we do with truth sometimes? I say we. I hope none of us do this. See, we want certain keys to fit in the lock, if you will. We want salvation and we want truth to be synonymous with who we are. And so what we do is we find a key that looks like it ought to work. We're happy with it. It pretty much fits, but then it doesn't quite open the lock. So then what we do is we go change the design of the lock. We're going to call a locksmith. Something's wrong with this lock. Let's fix the lock. So then we changed the design of the lock. So now we got a door, got a nice lock on it, looks pretty, got a new doorknob, and we pull out the same key that before didn't work, but now we slip her right in, and it turns and opens the key, opens the lock, and in we go, and we live happily ever after. Or do we? You see, this is how people are deceived. This is what people do. This is the many that he's talking about that are seeking. They're interested in getting in. That's why they're trying some things out. They have some interest. They want to live like a Christian to a point, but then they don't have a key that fits the lock, and they're not willing to go find a key that fits the lock, so they change the lock. You ever wonder why we have so many churches on every corner? Well, there, you know, it's amazing to me. Some towns are really small, but then they have all these churches. Something's wrong with that picture. Why do they have all these churches? Why do you need to have all these churches? You ever gone into town before and there's a big sign in front of the town, and it says, attend the church of your choice. I've seen that more than once. And then it has a whole list of churches. And the churches, they don't teach the same thing. They have different doctrines. But they're willing to put them all up there on the sign. See, the message is, you bring the key, whatever key you want. We'll find you a church that matches your key. And then when you go in the back door and sit down, whatever's preached across the pulpit and whatever's taught, well, it matches how you want to live. And so then you can be happy, be persuaded. Hey, everything's good. It's how I want to live. It's what's comfortable. I might have to make a few adjustments here and there, but it works. Everything matches up. And souls are deceived because of that. And many souls are lost because of that. And you have mega churches out there. I drive by mega churches on the way to one of the congregations we go to that has just very few people. And I drive by this church and there's cars everywhere. And I've told Kathy more than once, I sure wish I could pull in there and just preach. I'd like to go in there and just preach the gospel. I find pleasure in preaching the gospel because it does something for us. Changes our lives. It's what people need. It's what you need. It's what I need. The Lord knows what we need. He's truth. I don't want to just find whatever tickles my ears so that somehow I can feel better spiritually and in my heart, and yet I go out the door and I continue to have trouble every day. And I struggle, and I'm not at peace, and I have questions in my mind, and the Spirit of the Lord isn't upon me, and I don't have happiness, and I wonder why things are going wrong, and I wonder why the promises of the Word of God, why it is that it just doesn't seem like they apply to me, and yet I go to church, and I can get a warm feeling, because I go away and say, well, that's me, everything seems to be okay. Because it's not truth. You've gotta get a hold of what it is that matches the design of the original design of the lock. This says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because there's a whole lot of people that are gonna seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's why he said strive. Because there's a whole lot that are gonna try, but they're not gonna make it. So his message was, you need to strive. Because he said, there's gonna come a time when the master comes. See? And he shuts the door, and then you're gonna come and you're gonna knock on the door. See, here's the thing, folks. It may feel like and seem like you can get your key and open a lot of doors from a Christian standpoint. You can go through life and you can be deceived for a long time that everything's matching up. I mean, the truth as I define it in my life, everything's matching up. Everything seems to be going well. But here's the thing. Eventually, you're going to reach a door that's going to have a lock on it that's of the original design. And if you don't have the key that fits that lock, the Lord's going to say, I don't know who you are. I mean, what you have doesn't fit the lock. And the sad thing is that the Lord beckons us all the time and says, hey, let me give you the key. I know I designed the lock and I've got the key and I want to give it to you. I want you to have what you need so that when you get to the end of the way, you're able to put the key in the lock and it opens. In fact, I'll stand beside you and I'll open the door for you and we'll face my Father and I'll say, this is one of mine. This is one of mine because he or she imbibed truth. They were willing to do whatever it took to get a hold of truth. They were interested in finding the right key. The Lord offers that to all of us. It's wonderful. Without exception, He offers it to whosoever will. Regardless of your background, regardless of past sins, regardless where you are tonight, the Lord's saying, I've got the key. I paid for it, willing to give it to you. And yet, the sad thing is so many people strive in the wrong way. They strive to figure out what they can get by not doing and just using the keys they want to use. They spend as much effort on that as just go find the truth. I often, maybe you've heard me say this before, but you've read the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, and you remember a Christian walking down the road to the heavenly kingdom. Remember, and he'd passed through the straight gate. Remember that? And he's walking along to the heavenly kingdom, and all of a sudden this pack falls in front of him in the road. See, there's a wall on each side. You got to go in at the gate. So there's walls. The pack falls in front of him. He's like, whoa, what's the pack in front of me? What's that? And he looks up, and the legs flopped over the top of the wall. Pretty soon a man appears and hops down beside him and says, where are you going? Well, I'm going to the heavenly city. That's where you going? Well, that's where I'm going. Christian said, well, aren't you supposed to go in at the straight gate? I thought that's how you're supposed to come in. Well, no, I mean, this was the way he wanted to come in. He didn't need to go back there. He's going to go this way. We're going to the same place. Let's travel together. And a lot of people do that today. And they deceive themselves. They find a false sense of security because, after all, we're going to the same place. I'm a Christian too. And the truth that's taught, well, it matches my life and what I want to do. But it isn't going to work because when you get to the end of the way and you get to the door, the Lord's going to say, who are you? And that pack that you have right there, how did you get that in here? Where did that come from? Because that's a different shape than fits through the door. I mean, there's a door of a particular shape. It's kind of like a lock, if you will. It's got kind of tumblers in it, and there's a certain design. There's some criteria that you have to meet. You know, there's this thing, salvation and repentance and calling on the name of the Lord and seeking His face, and there's some forsaking that goes, and you've got some things in that pack right there that don't involve calling on the name of the Lord and seeking His face and forsaking some of these things. Where the pack? Do you know what Jesus called it in the 10th chapter of John? He said, the same as a thief and a robber. He tries to come in some other way. He tries to come into the fold some other way. And yet you have the multitudes out in the world today, churches everywhere, who will stand up and teach and preach things that are directly contrary to Scripture. I mean, it's not even close. And they'll change it over time. Some of the same groups will change their stand over time to keep the numbers coming in. Remember we said yesterday, truth doesn't change because of majority rule. There's not a show of hands and a time in our generation where truth changes. The design, the Lord already set it up. I want to get a hold of that. It's going to take us being willing to strive to enter into the straight gate so that when we get to the end of the way, everything matches up and there's no surprises. Well, so here's my message tonight. Part of what striving means, part of this applies to knowing the will of God to the extent that we're fully persuaded. That we're fully persuaded as to what the Lord would have us to do in each area of our life. Well, it doesn't say, make sure you do what you think is right. That's not what we read. It didn't say, you know, live and make sure that you personally are comfortable with it. It didn't even say, be persuaded in your own mind. It didn't even say that. What did it say? It said, be fully persuaded. You need to be fully persuaded that the way that you're going, that the truth that you're accepting as truth, is indeed truth. Because it's going to mean something to have Jesus Christ in your life when you meet the Lord. It's going to mean something to have truth. And it's going to involve us exercising intellectual honesty with ourselves. If you're not honest with yourself, you can throw it out. You have to be willing to be honest with yourself. You have to be willing to invest in truth, whatever it takes and whatever it means. I've heard many times, we might have mentioned it last night, you've heard people say, okay, I'm going to get a little closer. I've heard myself say, and I suspect that most people at some point in here have probably said, well, I don't think anything's wrong with it. Is it just me that has said that? You know, where we get to the place and we say, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't see why it's such a big deal. I don't have a problem with it. But a better question is, well, okay, you know, it's good that I, Rod, doesn't have a problem with it, but what does the Lord think? I might not see a problem with it, but Lord, what do you think about it? What do you think about it, Lord? And is there an approach that I can take that's more pleasing to you than this approach? Maybe there's no one else that can give you a scripture and verse, but maybe the question really ought to be, Lord, how can I most please you? Lord, what is it that you think about it? Because I want to know what truth is. It's going to mean something to invest to the point that I can be fully persuaded that it's right. Full persuasion that's based on knowledge and data and the word of the Lord. You see, people can be persuaded and it's not even based on knowledge or data or history. You know, that's why there's people that, pretty good sales folks, can go knock on your door and you're not even thinking about what it is, and you open the door and you say hi, and they say, hey, I've got this product right here. Do you mind if I show it to you? Well, okay, I've only got, you know, not really, but oh no, this is the thing. Well, okay, I've got 10 minutes. All right. And some of them are really good, and by the time they get done, they've persuaded you that it's the best product out there. And so you buy into it. But that's a different persuasion than if you say, you know what? I hear what you're saying. Looks like a good product, but I want to go see what my next best alternative is. I want to go see what the history says about this product. I want to know what other people say that have followed this path and used this product. How did their lives end up? How did it work out for them? What level of victory do they have? How's their Christian experience? Are they at peace? Are they flourishing? Are they drawing closer to the Lord? You see what I'm saying? And so before I just buy into that, looks good. Looks like exactly what I need. In fact, it's just really kind of what I've been looking for. But I'm not going to buy that yet because I want to be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. That's what full persuasion is. It's not just, well, I really think that it is. I'm just convinced. Well, based on what? Based on what? Well, I mean, because it looks right. I want to read a verse real quick in Jeremiah 17. Listen to this. Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. See, we can allow ourselves to be convinced in some things that we shouldn't be convinced about. The Lord wants us to be willing to invest into truth until we are fully persuaded that it's the will of God. Not fully persuaded that it's the way that I would like it to be, or what is convenient, or the keys that I have on my ring and I'd like one of them to work and I really don't want to have to go to the trouble to go buy and invest in finding a key that works. I want one of these to work. I want to be fully persuaded. You do too. You will. If you don't care that much tonight, you will be. I promise you. Oh, I promise you. There is coming a time when every single one of us are going to want to be fully persuaded. Because every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And the 14th chapter and the 12th verse says of Romans, a little further down from where we read, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You might not have to today. You might not have to next year. You might not have to for the next 20 or 30 years. You know, give a final account. Oh, there's an accounting that happens. There's consequences that happen. But there's going to come a time when everybody's going to have to stand before the Lord. And we're all going to have to give an account of the degree that we invested in being fully persuaded. Because after all, saints, we are the created. We're not the creator. We're the created. Who are we to decide, well, I don't really think that's important. In the face of God, who's going to be our judge? The one that created us. I want to know. I want to be fully persuaded. And I can be, thank the Lord. I can be fully persuaded by the original version of truth. By the authentic version of truth. Have you ever gone into a little hamburger shack on the side of the road and everybody says, that's the place to go. That place right there, they make the best hamburgers. And it's just a little place, you know, a hole in the wall place. And you go in and you sit down and they plop down a little place and they plop down a menu in front of you and it has every hamburger under the sun. They don't just have one hamburger anymore. They've got the mushroom and Swiss. They've got the double burger with cheese and bacon. They've got the avocado burger. They have the vegetarian burger. They have so many burgers that all you have to do is sit down and start looking through that list and just whatever suits your fancy that day, you can eat that hamburger. But you know, there's something that made the place famous in the first place. And you sit and you look and you got all these options and finally you say, where's the original? Where's the burger that made this place have a name in the first place? I want to know something about the original. I'm not interested in all the variations. You know, well, I might naturally in the flesh, I might like some of those. But when it comes to truth, you know, folks, I don't have time. I don't have time, and neither do you, to mess around with pieces and parts of truth that are combined with other things that make it taste better. And you can put all kinds of different things to adjust to whatever the taste buds are of the people that walk in. What I want to eat, I want to eat the original. I want to know what the truth is because that's what I'm going to be held accountable for. Why wouldn't I want to know the truth to the point that I'm fully persuaded in it so I can say, this is it. I just got the real deal. You know, there's been people that have come among the saints that didn't know anything about us, and it didn't take them long, and they said, I found it. This is it. This is it. You've seen bumper stickers before that on the back says, I found it. Some people go down the road and go, what did they find? Did they find a rock? Did they find their purse? What did they find? Why would you put something like that on the back of your car? I know what they're talking about. And so does everybody else that ever found it. I found it! It's the real deal! It works! Might have had to make some adjustments. I had to call on the Lord. I had to seek His face. I had to forsake some things. But I found it, and it works, and it's the original, it's the truth, and I'm fully persuaded. Be fully persuaded tonight. Be fully persuaded. Invest in the Word of God. Invest in it. Give it time. Invest in prayer. Invest in the Holy Spirit. We talked about these things last night. Invest in them until you're fully persuaded. Don't just give it a little bit of time and say, well, I read and I pray, and we've all been in these places, you know, where we haven't probably done it as much as we should, but the Lord wants us to do it. How can we be fully persuaded? Go to the source of truth. Go to the source. I don't want to just hear it from everybody else. I don't want to just hear it from the multitudes. They might start to persuade me, but if you want to be fully persuaded, go to the source and spend time with the source. Spend time in the Word. Spend time talking to our God. Spend time doing whatever you need to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of truth can talk to you and conform with you. Do you know that one of the real blessings of the Lord is one of the ways that helps our persuasion is the confirmation of the Holy Spirit after we've been obedient to the Word of God. And when you get to that place, you start to know something about what fully persuaded is. Do you remember Moses in the tabernacle? They were given directions on how to build this tabernacle. And it wasn't, hey, build the tabernacle and make sure that it has kind of an inner place and put some poles up and do it. The Lord gave specific direction on how to build the tabernacle. And Moses invested into obedience. Whether he thought it was right, whether he understood what all the dimensions were, because we don't always understand everything totally. But if it's the Word of God, that was good enough for Moses. The Word of the Lord said it, this is what I'm going to do. And do you know what happened when he got done behaving in a manner consistent with total obedience? What happened? The Spirit of the Lord came down. Do you think they were fully persuaded that, hey, we're on to something here? We did it right. We did it right. We did it just We invested in making sure that we understood what the Lord wanted me to do, and now the glory of the Lord came down. Oh yes, thank the Lord. Now I know, I'm persuaded. And now when you're all by yourself and everybody else goes a different way and you're standing alone and someone says, hey, why don't you come along with us? That's not necessary to do that. You don't need to dress like that. You can watch these things. Your heart's right. You can do that. It's okay to feel this way about other people because, after all, you need to help teach them some things, you know. And you say, no, I've been there. I've read the truth. The Spirit's talked to my in my ear, and I've been blessed by His confirmation. And it didn't just happen then. What Solomon in the temple? What happened when Solomon built the temple? Did he do it just however he wanted to do it? He invested until he was fully persuaded that we're going to do it just like the directions say. We're not going to deviate from it. And what happened? The glory of the Lord came down, consumed the sacrifice. Do you think they were fully persuaded? I think they were. They were obedient to what? To God's Word. Not somebody else's Word. Not the easy way out. How loud was it? How loud was that activity of building the temple? It was a pretty loud affair. Huh? Not the sound of a hammer. There was no forcing. You know, folks, this gets close. Sometimes we live our lives and, oh, we want so much for this to be okay. And we're trying to force it, and it almost fits. It almost fits. It's like the pieces in the puzzle, you know, jigsaw puzzle. I want it so bad. There's all these pieces out here, and I don't want to look. And this one, oh, it's so close. But it just nags at your mind. You know, and you start working on other things, and then you're looking over your shoulder at it. And it just kind of eats at you because there's something not right. You, in the Lord, you don't have to force things for it to work. The truth works. And when you finally find that peace and you put it in place, you go, that's it. Now, that's it. Now I'm no questions now. This is the right one, and you're persuaded because it fits. Young folks, old folks, middle-aged folks, if you're finding yourself trying to force some things in your life and you don't really feel real comfortable about it and you just have to keep pushing on it and trying to force it in there and make it fit to the rest of what truth is, don't try to force it. Move into another lane if you have to. You know, there's usually always another more conservative option you can take while you invest into being fully persuaded. Well, why would you go down a road and you're really not sure whether you should be doing this or not, but you keep going down the road when there's another road right there that you know is the right road, but you just keep going down it? You know, with the Lord, He is taking note of how we handle those situations. He's watching. How much do they care? How much do they want to serve me? How important is it to them? And when He sees us back off and say, well, I'm not fully persuaded about this, I know I can do this and the Lord's pleased with it. I want to fast a while. I'm going to let this thing go for a little while. I'm going to give it up for a little while. I'm going to seek the face of the Lord until I'm fully persuaded. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Things didn't go well for Saul. And the sheep did it. You remember that? He went out there and he had the direction of the Lord. He said, destroy everything. And yet he came back and Samuel's like, I think actually Saul was the one that before Samuel ever said anything, I think. Saul said, up, did the word of the Lord. I did what he said. And Samuel said, what's the noise I hear? I hear something. What is that? Oh, well, That sheep that we got to sacrifice for the Lord, we got those things because we are going to offer some sacrifices for the Lord. You know, the enemy's really good at that. He can give you all kinds of good reasons to do the wrong thing. The Lord is not asking you to be disobedient so you can do Him a favor. He just isn't. He never has. He does not ask us to let down the standard and sell out bits and pieces of truth so that we can reach more people. He doesn't want that. And yet people all around is like, well, I can't reach people. I want to give them the gospel, so I'm going to start doing these other things, whatever it is, things of the flesh normally, to bring people in so they have big churches. Got a lot of money coming in, got a lot of excitement, and yet they've pieced and parted out truth. And then people are deceived. The Lord is never going to ask us to be disobedient so that we can do Him a favor. He's plenty capable of reaching people if He needs to reach somebody. He doesn't want us to let down on truth. So tonight, my message is, be challenged and be inspired to do whatever it takes. Invest, however, call upon the Lord, seek His face, do whatever it takes to invest until you're fully persuaded. And we can do that. The Lord has a place for us that if we'll invest in this manner, He'll bless us in that way. He'll help us get to the place where we need to be so that we're at peace with ourselves and with Him. And when we get to the end of the way, oh, I want to have the testimony of Paul where when he saw that he was getting ready to meet the Lord, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I invested in truth. I lived so I could be fully persuaded. Oh, I made some errors. Did some things that were gravely wrong, but the Lord was so merciful to me, as He is to all of us. As He is tonight. He's merciful to us. But His exhortation is to us, invest until you're fully persuaded, because it's going to mean everything. You don't want to find out at the last. I want to read two verses before we close. Psalms 26, 1 and 2 says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove. Try my reins and my heart. Lord, I want to walk in my integrity. I don't want to go outside of that. I want to be honest with myself. I want to serve You. I want to please You. I want to invest until I'm fully persuaded. Lord, Jeremiah said in Lamentations, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. I want to be fully persuaded in my own mind so that I can meet the Lord in peace. This matter of our soul, it's too valuable not to be fully persuaded. The stakes are too high. And so wherever you are in life, young, middle-aged, older, be willing to seek and invest in the truth until you're fully persuaded. And if you're not fully persuaded in something, then back off of it. Back off, shift lanes until you get to a place where you can be at peace. Lord, what must I do to be saved? Buy the truth and don't sell it for any reason. Don't give up any of it for any reason. And invest in it until you're fully persuaded. Amen. I want to be true. Pray for me.